Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 6. In verse 6, now godliness with contentment is great gain. This is something that is contrary to the way a lot of people do things. It's contrary to their thinking. They are not content, and because they are not content, they are not godly. Because this contentment will cause you to pursue things in an ungodly way. Simple as that. If I'm discontent, I'm going to give up godliness. But godliness with contentment is gain. We don't often think about that. Godliness with contentment is gain. When you guys get older and you are pursuing something, maybe in college or maybe beyond college, you're pursuing some kind of a job. Godliness with contentment is going to be your gain. Whatever situation you're in, apply godliness with contentment. Be careful not to become so ambitious that you're ungodly or discontent. Ambition is fine so long as it comes under the authority and control of the Word of God. Then it's perfectly fine. You have a goal that's completely fine, so long as it's submitted to the Word of God. That's when God's going to add things to you. When I was pursuing medical school, and God told me to pursue it, interestingly enough, He never said to me, you'll be a doctor. He said, pursue being a doctor. I didn't know that pursuing being a doctor was going to end up in me being a pastor. How do you make that equation? Well, God's ways are above our ways, and His thoughts are above our thoughts in Isaiah 55, 8, 9. You're not going to figure God out. Don't try to figure God out. God has a mind that is too far beyond ours for us to ever be able to figure Him out. Every time in my life that I thought I figured out something regarding the plan of God, forget it, I was so completely wrong. I have no way, nobody does, of figuring out how God does things, when He does things, why He does things, and so on. Don't try. It's an exercise in futility. It's frustration. But then, we don't have to figure it out. God's already figured it out. Our place is not to figure it out. Our place is to trust Him as we're going about our business. It's God who orders our steps. You don't order your steps. God orders your steps. You want to be a doctor, an engineer, or a lawyer, or FBI agent, or whatever it is that you want to be, a teacher, what have you. That's perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with that at all. Stay godly, stay content in whatever situation you're in, whatever condition you're in, and God orders your steps. God will get you to where you need to be. Now, sometimes we have it right, sometimes we have it wrong. That part doesn't matter because it's God who's ordering your steps. It's much easier to steer a car that's moving than one that's parked. So the fact that you have a goal is perfectly fine. Pray about your goal. Go after your goal the best that you're able while being submitted properly to the Word of God, and God will get you exactly where you need to go, and either you'll get the goal that you desired because that was God's plan, or maybe you thought that was God's plan, but God will take you into His plan, which will be far better than your goal. You're always going to win with God. There is absolutely no way to lose with God. There is only one way to lose, and that's quit. Pastor Stevens, my pastor, when he was training us in Bible college, he always said that the only way to lose is quit. And he was absolutely right. With God, there is absolutely no possible way to lose except quit. If you quit, then you lose. If you don't quit, even if things seem to be going badly, even if things are going rough, even if things don't look like they're turning out the way you were hoping they would, there's absolutely no possible way to lose with God as long as you don't quit. Because if you quit, you simply stop walking with Him. And then you're not going to get to where He wants you to go. If you get to where He wants you to go, you can't help but win, because God wants you to win. That's His whole purpose, is for you to win in life. So you want to stay with God. You want to stay with the way He does things. You want to have godliness with contentment, because it's great gain in your life. And then it continues, we brought nothing into this world. Anybody come into this world with $1,000,000, $100,000,000? I mean, what was in your pockets when you were born? Well, you didn't have pockets. Nothing was in your pockets when you were born. When you were born, you were sitting there helpless, looking for somebody to take care of you. But you weren't unhappy. You weren't discontent. It didn't bother you. That's the really weird thing about us. We're smart enough the moment we're born to know that things are going to turn out okay, that we don't actually worry about it. And people think, well, you don't know any better. You know, sometimes knowing better is actually knowing worse. Knowing better is thinking with God. When you're born, your natural instincts were such that you simply trusted. And because you trusted, you were rewarded. Well, it doesn't change. You didn't come into this world with anything. And you know what? God wasn't looking for anything. God didn't want you to come here with anything. If you were supposed to come here with something, you would have had pockets at least. You didn't come with anything. Don't worry about it. God provides everything. In verse 8, having food and clothing, with these things we shall be content. God provides your needs. He does. I've seen it happen personally. I still can't to this day figure out certain times when God provided my needs, how He did it. There was no way that those needs should have been met. They were always met. God provides your needs. Now, we have this tendency, we look at our situation because we deal with it. And we might say to ourselves, oh my goodness, I don't have any money. Or, oh my goodness, I'm not feeling well. Or, oh my goodness, this person is not doing well. Whatever it is, it doesn't much make a difference. We look at the situation and we start to think about the situation. Don't think about the situations more than you need to, just to deal with it and leave it alone. You don't need to think about it more than that. Deal with it and leave it alone. If you don't have money, get a job. Don't worry about how you're going to feed your family. Don't worry about how you're going to get money, how you're going to do whatever it is that you need to do. You guys are starting to look at the possibility of college. Don't worry about how you're going to pay for it. God will provide a way for you to pay for it. You do what you need to do and don't think about it beyond that. So I don't know what that's going to be for you specifically. Maybe it'll be a student loan. Maybe it'll be some kind of a grant program. I don't know. Whatever it is, God will bring it in. Do what you need to get that provision. But beyond that, don't worry about it. Why? God provides the need. He's not unaware of your need. I remember years ago, I was driving to school. I went back to school yet again. And I was driving an hour to get to George Washington University. And we needed a reliable car. And so we were praying. And my wife, she asked God for the car. And God simply said to her, I know you need that. And then the next week we had a car. And we had exactly the car we wanted to. I wanted a car that had really good gas mileage. that had only a few miles on it. I didn't want it new. You pay way more for new than for used. And a good used car is just as good as a new one. And I wanted something that I could trust that it wasn't going to break down. And so she asked God for a car in like a week or two. We have a Honda Civic in our garage with 30,000 miles on it. 30,000 miles on a car is nothing. How did that happen? We asked for it. God said, I know you need that. God cares about those things. If you need a car, God cares about it. If you need money for college, God cares about it. If you need something to eat, God cares about it. If you are looking for clothes because your clothes are wearing out, God cares about it. He provides everything. You didn't come into this world with anything. Everything was provided for you. That's not going to stop. God cares about it. God is very faithful to take care of it. For us, in 1 Timothy 6:11, he says, but you, O man of God, remember, even if you're a woman, you're a man of God. Man is generic. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness. Flee worrying about things. Flee worrying about money. Flee worrying about health. Flee worrying about relationships. Flee worrying about the worldly things. Be godly with contentment. That's where your gain is. Flee these things and pursue righteousness. What is righteousness? In Romans 3:22, righteousness is simply living in faith. Pursue living in faith. How do I live in faith? I get the word of God in Romans 10:17 and it produces faith in me. That's what you pursue. Pursue godliness. What is godliness? When faith produces a response in me. That's godliness. Pursue faith. Okay, faith applied is righteousness. Word of God in your thinking is faith. Simple definition for faith, if anybody ever asks you, what is faith? Faith is this, thinking with God. That's faith. Some people will want to go to Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the conviction of realities unseen. Yes, it is. How do you get there? By thinking with God. Really plain and simple definition of faith, thinking with God. That's why it comes by hearing. So pursue thinking with God. Then pursue love. Love is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now remember, guys, love is not an emotion. Love is first patient, then it is kind. And in 1 Corinthians 4 through 7, there's a whole other series of characteristics, but all of them start with those two. Those are the key. Love is patient and love is kind. Develop patience in your life and develop kindness. Those are not only good characteristics for relationships, they're good characteristics for good mental health. Impatient people end up being very frustrated. That's not good for your mental health. Unkind people are usually very selfish. And that's not good for your mental health. Worrying about yourself all the time is one of the worst things you can do. You get paranoid. Being self-centered is one of the worst things you can do. Self-pity is absolutely destruction. Self-pity is what got Lucifer kicked out of heaven. These are terrible things to do. But pursue after love. How do I pursue after love? In Jude 21, I keep myself in mercy. I look for mercy. Mercy is when God does not give you what you deserve. I deserve something bad. God doesn't give it to me. The practical working of mercy is patience. So the love of God starts with mercy because patience is the first characteristic, the doorway into the love of God. Pursue patience. Pursue gentleness. Gentleness is what makes you great. You may as well be saying pursue greatness. But pursuing greatness does not come through puffing yourself up like so many people in the world do it. In Psalm 18:35, David said, your gentleness has made me great. Pursue the gentleness of God so that you can have gentleness. That gentleness will make you great. That'll make you extremely successful in the kingdom. Guys, please keep something in mind. You are not here for time. You are here for eternity. Too many people focus on time and they lose their eternity. Focus on eternity and you'll win your time. Focus on the things of God and you'll take care of the things of the world. If you focus on the things of the world, you'll lose the things of God. It works differently than it appears to with people. Remember, with God, a lot of things are not as they appear. That's why we have to walk by faith. You always focus on the things of God to win things in time. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And so what is it that I go after? I go after righteousness, which is application of faith. I go after godliness. I go after faith. I go after love. Remembering that love is not an emotion. People confuse affection with love. It's not the same thing. You may have affection with love or you may not have affection with love. They're not the same thing. Go after patience and go after gentleness. There you will find great gain. Then he says in verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. A good fight is not the way that the world fights. People sometimes look at the world and say, well, look at that. They made a lot of money. Yeah, they may have. But they're not going to keep a penny of it. It always amazes me when rich people die. You always wonder to yourself, I wonder if you were saved. And maybe they were. There's nothing wrong with being rich if God gives it to you. But then you also think to yourself, you didn't take a penny with you, so what did you take? You want to know what you guys will take with you? Because you can take certain things to heaven with you. You can take four things to heaven with you. You can take gold. You can take silver. You can take precious stones. Those are the first three. I'm not talking about going and buying out all kinds of gold bars. Those kind of things, like gold bars over here that people knock themselves out to get, that's concrete in heaven. That's what the roads are made of. Gold is whatever is of faith. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Gold is whatever is of faith. Silver is whatever is of redemption. Redemption is things like forgiveness, mercy. Redemption is if you make a mistake, you tell God about it and He forgives you your mistake and you get a reward of silver. Precious stones are the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, those kind of things. Fruit of the Spirit is a much better way to live than without the fruit of the Spirit. I mean, think about it. Do you like gentleness? Do you like when people are gentle to you? Do you like gentleness? Of course you do. Everybody does. Do you like patience? Do you like when people are patient or impatient with you? Of course you like patience. Do you like to be loved? Would you prefer to love somebody or hate them? Of course you'd prefer love. These are all things we prefer anyway. Well, they're what God offers you. And so these are the precious stones. And the other thing you can take to heaven with you, and God calls this your inheritance, is souls that you win to Christ. When you share the gospel with somebody, and you tell them about Jesus, even if they don't get saved with you, but they get saved later on down the road, they become a part of your inheritance in heaven. You can take that with you. There are some people that you will win to Christ. They will pray with you, they will get saved with you, and that will be wonderful. It's a lot of fun when that happens. And then there's other people you simply tell them about Christ, but they don't necessarily have the capacity to respond yet. But you've planted the seeds. That's still a part of your inheritance. It all comes with godliness with contentment. Don't look for your godliness or your contentment from the things of the world. Don't look at it from relationships, unless it's a relationship with God. That is to say, from other people. Don't look at it from possessions. You can't keep your possessions. One day, no matter what you do, you will lose every one of them. You may die to do it, but you will lose every one of them. One of my favorite stories was that time we were downtown soul winning. And the guy was just having a bad day. And I was talking to him and he said, this morning I had $10 million. This evening I have 10 cents. I lost it all today. He invested badly. And he lost everything that he had. You can't keep anything. Under the best of circumstances, you can't keep anything. Some people will keep what they have a little longer and some people a little shorter, but you can't keep anything. So what do you want to keep? Godliness with contentment. The other things come from godliness with contentment. That's great gain. You want to know how you get great gain? Godliness with contentment. You guys understand that? Okay, that's it for today.